Welcome, Policy Fellow at the South African Institute of Race Relations, Sarah Gon.
It's very sad when one sees the devastation in KwaZulu-Natal, more so when you see that it's the poorest of the poor that suffer, and you see infrastructure that should have been maintained collapsing before our very eyes. Joining us now to unpack what's happening in KwaZulu-Natal with an insert today called Cry the Beloved Country is Sarah Gon. Sarah, good evening to you.
Yes, you know that you're getting a lot of headlines talking about extreme weather events and extreme climate change and so on. And I want to just put a little bit of perspective on that. Let's look at the nature of the event from a nature point of view. It was huge. I mean, the bank of cloud that swept over the summer pattern that formed was really extensive and really, shall I say, thick. I think a low pressure system developed and just kept the clouds there. And there's also the element, of course, that we are experiencing a La Nina, which we all know the El Nino is where the Pacific Ocean warms and it results in drought conditions. Well, La Nina is where it cools more than normal, lower than normal, and creates, you know, it has effects on hurricanes and cyclones and all those things that we tend to hear of in the news. So it's not that unusual to have a fair amount of rain between February and April on the East Coast, but this was obviously just a sort of a conflation of events. And when you have something like 350 millimeters of rain in a 24-hour period, the water just hasn't got anywhere to go because it's already been raining. So there's nothing to soak up the rain anymore. So it's just going to run down. And then we come to, of course, the issues that you raise, and that is infrastructure, stormwater drains, the fact that you have so many shack developments that aren't properly don't have necessary construction. There's also the element of corruption playing a role in infrastructure. There's the issue of failure to maintain infrastructure. And all of these things will have sort of created, pardon the pun, the perfect storm. Added to which, of course, one must remember that I think there was a huge storm in 1950 that people remember. And of course, what one has to remember with events of this nature is they become devastating and lives are lost because there are so many more people living in the affected areas. So being a little bit of the skeptic I am, I think that one must take very considerable heed of the natural phenomena, also the human growth. And then, of course, KwaZulu-Natal is as big a disaster area with regard to the management of our infrastructure and the corruption that may or may not underlie it as anywhere else in the country. So it had to be declared a disaster, a state of disaster. And I think the problem is one is going to see the consequences through looting and other forms of theft and possibly even violence, because the circumstances make it much easier to do so. Hence, Cry the Beloved Country.
Yeah, a lot going on there and a lot to unpack. I think the most important thing right now is to try and help those that are destitute. And like I said at the beginning of the insert, it's always the poorest of the poor that suffer. It's those people that are living in informal settlements that have next to nothing, that have now lost absolutely everything. Mm-hmm. And we've been trying to push people in the right direction to try help through the support of organizations that are on the ground in Durban. And of course, one has to be circumspect, but also direct when it comes to issues such as this. When we see what's going on in respect of service delivery, we can see that these informal settlements are built in areas that are not conducive for building, especially if you look at the type of shelters that have been erected. And when one looks at the condition of the roads, KwaZulu-Natal is a wet area. We've seen cyclones over the years. So I suppose we can point fingers when it comes to the maintenance of some of our major infrastructure.
Well, the point is that, you know, areas, I've forgotten the full name of the plans, but government has to develop plans to deal with potential issues like this. Another thing I didn't mention is to take into account the fact that the geology of the area apparently makes the Durban area very, very vulnerable to flooding. So there's that element as well. And from what I've read, you know, it really needs government that is prepared to knuckle down and really plan for this sort of thing, because the omens are there. You know, the geology is there. The weather patterns are predictable. And I don't think we have a government that has the necessary capacity for it.
I don't think it's a matter of thought. I think the proof is in the pudding. We've seen that our current dispensation is incapable of responding. And if it wasn't for private sector assistance, to, let's be honest, the Durban Metro Police did very well in this regard, but they had the support of search and rescue, not just from the state, but mostly from the private sector. And if it wasn't for the private sector involvement, much the same as what we saw last year with the insurrection in KwaZulu-Natal. The private sector is playing such a major role, and it's time that the state accepted the role that the private sector played and perhaps start entering into more public-private partnerships.
I agree entirely.
Sara, thank you so much for joining us today, and wishing you a great long weekend, and I hope you get some rest and a break.
Thank you. You too. I think we all need it, even though we're not, you know, into half the year even. We're probably really tired.
I think we are. It's been a very overwhelming year.
Keep well.
That was Sara Gunn. She is from the Institute of Race Relations.